The rains came down and the floods came up. Remember that children's song? Let's talk about it in a moment.
Words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.
Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse, and I'm Jeff Archie. This is a program where we spend just a few moments looking at the precious book divine. It's God's Word. And you know, examining it by book, chapter, and verse helps us to understand. I hope you will tune in each week as we look at God's Word together. Thanks for joining me today, and please know that at the end of our broadcast, we will offer Bible study material absolutely free so that you may continue your studies in God's Word in the privacy of your own home. So please stay tuned, and thanks again for joining us. You know, the story of the wise man is one of my favorite Bible accounts, and it's one of my favorite little children's songs. You know, the wise man that built his house upon the rock, the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. It's taken from Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27. And of course, it teaches the wonderful parable of the wise man and the foolish man. Let's look at that today as our book, chapter, and verse. Please take your Bibles and go with me to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Jesus, near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, let's relate the story just a little bit. Jesus has spent Matthew 5, 6, and 7 talking about listening to God. "You have heard it said, but I say unto you," that Jesus would say. He taught some wonderful lessons. And we note from the end of Matthew 7 how the people were astonished at his doctrine. He taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. So Jesus, near the end of this wonderful teaching, is saying, okay, if you hear these sayings of mine and you do them, you're like a wise man that built his house upon a rock. When the floods came, or the rains came, the floods grew, it stood solid. It was built upon a rock. When we hear Christ and do His will, we are better prepared for the challenges of life. On the other hand, if we hear His sayings and do them not, then we're like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Both men knew to build a house. Both men did build a house. But the difference was the foundation. And when the rains came and the floods grew, well, what could you do? That house was going to fall. And it fell, and great was its fall because it wasn't found upon a rock, or wasn't established, if you will, upon a rock. That tells me that the need of a foundation is vitally important. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 reminds us there is none other foundation laid than that which is laid, the man Christ Jesus. So what we hear and what we do with what we hear determines how solid we're on the foundation. Are we building what we know, what we believe, solidly upon the rock? Now, regardless of the religious group, regardless of what the religious group might be, and although in-depth study may show differently, initially an individual believes the following two things. And I have found this true in conversations with people that are from different religious bodies, different churches or denominations, if you will. And although in-depth study may show differently as time goes on, initially people will believe the following two things. Number one, the idea of religion or church is from God. pretty well your majority of people will agree to that. If you were to survey a person regardless of where they attend worship or if they do or not and just say, do you believe the idea of religion or church is from God? Vast majority would say yes. Here's the second thing. Now again, although in-depth study may show differently, initially you could ask, do you believe the Bible is God's Word? And chances are that answer would be yes. I believe the Bible is God's Word. Now, as you go more in depth, there may be different things, but those two things pretty well stand. The idea of religion or church is from God. And number two, the Bible is God's Word. Now, therefore, what we wish to do is to look at the Word of God in order to know about the church. You know, if one looks in the phone book, one will find hundreds of churches. Are they all right? Is one church as good as another? How does one find the right church? What if we look in the Bible as we build upon the rock, the right foundation? What if we look in the Bible and see the characteristics of the church? Now remember, the idea of religion or church is from God. We would concur with that. And the Bible is God's Word. So let's look in the Bible today and let's see the characteristics of the church we read of in the New Testament. If I go back to the Bible, knowing God's plan, then from the Bible, He's going to tell me about the church. So let's notice four key things. Here's the first one. The church we read of in the New Testament was purposed by God. Listen to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Verse 10 of this text mentions the church, and that we can be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus. Did you know before eternity began, or eternity before time began, God's eternal purpose was in Jesus Christ, He would bring forth the church. The church was purposed in Christ Jesus. Again, that's Ephesians 3:11. And I think of such passages as Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, of those spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, and how those blessings and His children planned before eternity began, God knew His plan through Christ Jesus, it would be the church. His blood was planned to be shed, the eternal purpose of God, according to such passages as 1 Peter 1, 18 through 21, and Revelation 13 and verse 8, which says how that He was slain from the foundation of the world. So the church we read of in the New Testament was purposed by God. Now again, the idea of religion or church comes from God, and it does. And God's Word tells us before time began, He had purposed the church in Jesus Christ. Now let's move from this one to our second point. The church we read of in the New Testament was not only purposed of God, but it was prophesied by the prophets of God. When we go back and look in the Old Testament, for example, at the book of Isaiah, listen to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. What are you going to say, Isaiah? Here it is. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Now, how do we know He's speaking of the church? Well, let's think about some things here. First of all, this prophecy came a good 700 to 750 years prior to its fulfillment. It's interesting to note such phrases as "the last days." In Acts the second chapter, we find out that they indeed came to the last days. And what Peter did in Acts chapter 2 and verse 16 is he spoke of those last days by going back to a prophecy from Joel chapter 2 verses 28 through 32, to where when Joel prophesied what would happen in those last days, in Acts chapter 2, Peter said, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And when we find that phrase "last days" parallel with Joel and Joel 2 and Acts 2, it parallels perfectly with Isaiah 2. Listen to Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 47. Now remember, Isaiah said the word of the Lord would sound forth from Zion, would sound forth from Jerusalem. Let's think on that for a moment. In Luke 24, verse 44, Jesus said unto His apostles, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning Me. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And He said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Now, did you catch that? All nations? And Isaiah in Isaiah 2 said, "All nations shall flow unto it." Did you catch that the word of the Lord would be preached beginning at Jerusalem, and the word of the Lord would come forth from Jerusalem in Isaiah chapter 2? And what happened from the Gospel of Luke when the apostles returned to Jerusalem? Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 reminds us how they had returned to Jerusalem and how they returned to Jerusalem as Jesus commanded them to do that very thing. Acts chapter 1, 9 through 11 reads, "When He had spoken these things while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Jesus had instructed them that they would be witnesses of Him," or unto Him, "both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." The word of the Lord would go from Jerusalem. Now back to verses 9 through 11 of Acts 1. "When He had spoken these things while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." Then listen to what they did in verse 12. "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey." They're in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, they are in Jerusalem. They are at the day of Pentecost. And this is where we find Peter in Acts 2 preaching that gospel sermon. This is where he refers to that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is where we see the last day prophecy of Isaiah come to fulfillment. This is where we look at that prophecy of Isaiah and see it fulfilled completely. And in Acts 2 in verse 47, what do we read? The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Isn't it beautiful how the prophecies of old about Christ and about His church come true so clearly, so beautifully? How the prophecy of Isaiah 2 ties in perfectly with Joel 2 as well as Acts 2. That's the beauty of taking God's Word, and let's just seek out book, chapter, and verse, and to know God's will for our lives. Thinking about God and the church, thinking about how the church was purposed in Christ Jesus, how the church was prophesied of old and fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Now let's notice a third thing. The church we read of in the New Testament, not only was it purposed before time began, prophesied of old, but it was promised by Jesus Christ. Some years ago, my wife and I spent time in what's called the Holy Lands, and we went to a town called Tiberias. And as we went to Tiberias, you and I would know that a little better from Matthew the 16th chapter, and at the time it was called Caesarea Philippi. The rock formations were beautiful at that time. And from the rock formations, there were temples that were built for idol worshipers and things of that nature. It was the background of these great rock foundations and all that the conversation began with Jesus and His disciples, and then specifically Peter. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then Jesus said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Listen to Jesus' answer in verse 16. "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Notice Jesus in verse 18 said, "Thou art Peter." Here is what you have said, Peter. You are Peter. And upon this rock, not the rock of Peter, because the phrase rock and Peter, which also means rock, is a distinctive rock. The rock that Jesus is speaking of, on which His church would be built, is a word that means a solid bedrock, solid, a foundation. What was that statement Peter made? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the foundation on which the church stands. No other foundation except Jesus Christ. Again, 1 Corinthians 3:11. "Upon this rock I will build my church." The church we read of in the New Testament was promised of Christ. Jesus promised that He would build His church. He didn't promise to build multiple churches. He said, "I will build my church." The gates of hell, the Hadean realm, it will not prevail against the church. I will build it. And along that same line to Peter, there was an idea of authority that we see Peter use in Acts the 2nd chapter. "I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven." You know, that parallels perfectly with the preaching of Jesus in Matthew 3 and verse 2, to where Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." He went preaching, "The kingdom is at hand." In other words, it's coming. In Matthew 4:17, again, "The kingdom," preaching the kingdom of heaven, "is at hand." It's coming. Peter, I will give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I will give. It's coming. Did the kingdom come? How about Mark 9 and verse 1? Here's a passage that is of great interest to people, and sometimes folks are very surprised to hear of this text. Jesus, in teaching of the coming kingdom, said, "Verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." Did the kingdom of God come with power? Yes, it did, my friends, and I submit to you the keys to the kingdom that were given to Peter, that the kingdom came in power on the day of Pentecost, and how the kingdom and the church are indeed one and the same. Notice back in Mark 9:1, some shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. Jesus said there are going to be those that will not die until they see the kingdom of God come with power. And I submit to you that came on the day of Pentecost as the church. And as we will note in further studies, the kingdom and the church are one and the same. The kingdom is not yet to come. The kingdom is already here. It's the church that was prophesied, first of all, purposed, then prophesied, and promised by Christ. Now let's notice the fourth thing very quickly. The church we read of in the New Testament was purchased by Christ. It was purchased of Jesus Christ by His blood. Acts 20 and verse 28 tells us how that Paul told the church at Ephesus or its elders, "Take heed unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, that you may feed the church of God which He purchased with His own blood." The church was purchased of Christ. He purchased the church with His own blood. That text even shows us the deity of Christ and of God, that He would purchase the church of God, or the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood, that being Christ. Perfect parallel of Hebrews 1 to where God called His Son God, "Thy throne, O God," understanding the authority and teaching it. Jesus loves the church. He cleansed it. He is the Savior of the church. As we look in Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, He takes the beauty of marriage, of husband and wife, and He compares husband and wife to Christ, the husband, and the church, which is His bride. I get very excited talking about the church in the New Testament, because that is the church that was purposed of God before time began, His eternal purpose and plan. It was also not only purposed in Christ, but it was prophesied of old, promised by Christ in the new, and purchased by Christ with His blood. Therefore, I know that the church that I read of in the New Testament is the church that I want to know the most about, the church where millions have been added to its body through hearing this wonderful message, the gospel account. And from hearing the gospel account, believing it, not only hearing but doing, just like the wise man, believing with all their heart Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of their sins as Jesus taught in Luke 13:3, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, like we read of the eunuch, or we read of the eunuch in Acts 8 verse 37, making the confession of Christ, and then buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, baptized into His death, Romans 6, 4 through 6. Fulfillment of the command of baptism that Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Sins are washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. What church are we added to? The church we read of in the New Testament. If you have yet to do that, I trust you will do that today.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6.
The church we read in the New Testament was purposed by God, prophesied by His prophets, promised by His Son, and purchased by the Son's blood. This makes the church unique, none other like it. This is the church we have, the only authority from the Scriptures to present to man.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words.
Wonderful words of life.